We're going to look at faith. Such a simple thing, faith, that God has given us, and yet so incredibly important. It's a glorious theme in the Bible, faith. We find it all the way through, from old beginning of the Old Testament all the way through to the end. The need of faith, and there are illustrations of faith. And just think about how important it is. We are justified by faith. In Romans 3, we read about that we are justified by faith. It's repeated in chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. What a wonderful thing. We are saved through faith. That well-known scripture in Ephesians 2. We are saved by faith, through faith. By grace, through faith. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11, we read there that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, if it is impossible to please Him without faith, surely faith pleases God. In fact, reading through Hebrews 11, you can see it's demonstrated the people that pleased God were those that demonstrated faith. And they pleased God through their faith. Faith is more precious than gold. 1 Peter 1. Now, in those days, gold and silver, that was money. And if gold and silver are precious, it's not really the gold and silver so much as what the gold and silver can buy. So you think of something that money can buy. And then remember that faith is much more precious than that. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 5. Sometimes you don't need something precious, you need victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But I'm sure you know that the word faith sows confusion. So many strange, unbiblical ideas about faith. So we need to, from time to time, come again and just look at what it is. What is faith? There's some chapters in the Bible that illustrate it well. I think of Romans 4 is a good one. From the life of Abraham especially, and also a little bit from David. Demonstrating, showing what faith is. Of course, in Genesis, the whole life of Abraham, faith. Hebrews 11 is such an illustration of faith. From one person to the next, showing how Abraham, just having a word, he went from his home country by faith, knowing that God would give him what he had promised. And so there are many illustrations of faith. And one we find in John chapter 4. From verse 43 to 54. We're going to read it and then see what lessons we can find from this simple illustration of faith. You'll find the word believe three times in the passage. John 4 from verse 43. After 2 days, he departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my son dies, before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Let's just bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this word. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your word. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you that we can trust them, know that they are true, that we can believe them, hold on to them, and find such encouragement and instruction and truth here. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word to our hearts, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, another illustration of faith. In 2002, when I was at Cork Bay, there's a mountain just above it. You can't really say Table Mountain, it's more the southern part, an extension. But above Cork Bay and Musenberg, there's some mountains there. And I had a little booklet, something like Day Walks in the Cape Peninsula, something like that. And I paged through it and I found Cork Bay there. And above Cork Bay, one of the walks went up the mountain, and then there was a ridge. And it says there in the book, there's a cave. You can go in one side of the ridge, go through the cave, and come out on the other side of the ridge. I thought, wow, I must try that. So I went up the mountain, and I enjoyed it very much. The nature, looking over the sea, and followed the path. It was a little bit difficult, it was overgrown, but eventually here and there I found the path. And then I came to the cave. So I went in. And it was small. And it got darker. And eventually, in the darkness there, I could almost had to feel that there was just a little opening in front of me. Just that high. And nowhere else. So I thought, well, This is it. It's got to be here. Where else? And in front of me, it was just dark. So I thought, well, the book says there's a cave, and if you go in one side of the ridge, you'll come out the other side. So, by faith, I pushed myself forward. Couldn't crawl. I had to just shift to go to get through. And it was dark, dark, dark. But soon enough, became a bit light, and then lighter and lighter, and wow, I was on the other side. I wouldn't have gone that far if I didn't have the book. If the book hadn't told me, there's a cave, and you can go through and get out the other side. Another illustration, which is well known, of course, a child climbing on the roof, maybe climbing from a tree onto the roof, and after playing around on the roof, he wants to come down again, but he can't. And so he calls his father, "Dad, come and help me, I can't get down." And the father stands underneath and says, "You can jump, I will catch you." And he jumps, and his father catches him. Also an illustration of faith. All he had was the voice of his father, "Jump, I will catch you." He didn't feel the safety of his father's arms until he had jumped and landed in his father's arms. But what he did have was a word which he believed, and he jumped. Faith is quite simple. But there are a few lessons from this passage which we'll quickly look at regarding faith. First one is, true faith doesn't depend on evidence. It doesn't depend on evidence now. Now, it's true that faith is not just a leap into the darkness. We've got reasons for believing. And yet, for the most part, faith is, it doesn't depend, it's not maintained by evidence. That's hinted at in verse 48. It seems clear that these words, verse 48, were said in a certain way of not appreciation, not appreciating people who are looking for evidence. When it says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Some people tend to look for signs and wonders to get some faith, and then they look for another one to get some more faith, and then their faith drops, and then they need another one to give them some more faith. Look at Matthew 12:39, which also says that Jesus does not appreciate this looking for evidence. Matthew 12:39. I think he was speaking to the Pharisees, some of the Jewish leaders. He says there, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Think of Thomas. Thomas didn't believe when the other disciples said, we've seen the Lord, after the resurrection. Unless I put my finger in his hands, the holes in his hands, and my hand into the hole in his sides, I will not believe. And Jesus challenged him afterwards. Jesus, of course, showed him that the nail marks and the spear mark. And of course, Thomas did believe. But it's interesting what Jesus said after that. He said, you have seen and you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The blessing is for those who have not seen and yet they believe. I'm also struck by the words in Luke 16, that story of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man is there in Hades. And he speaks to Abraham, whom he sees far off. And toward the end of the story, he says, but please send Lazarus to my brothers on earth to warn them. And Abraham says, I'm not going to send him because they've got Moses and they've got the prophets. And what does the rich man say? No, but when they see somebody coming from the dead telling them, they will listen. He says, no. Even if they see somebody rising from the dead and coming to them, they will not. Faith doesn't depend on evidence. Like an alcoholic, he gets his drink and after a while he needs another drink. So you need something to feed your faith if it's that kind of shallow false faith. But true faith doesn't need that. True faith is planted, it's there, straightforward, simple, I believe. And if I see evidence, well, that's an encouragement, but it's not needed. I have my faith, and one day it will all be, I'll be blessed as a result of that, believing in the promise which will be fulfilled. So faith doesn't need evidence to boost it every now and again. Another lesson about faith we find here. True faith only needs a word. True faith only needs a word. Look at verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word. So the man believed the word and went back to Capernaum. Just get a picture in your mind. If all of you have seen a map of Israel. Well, Galilee is up in the north, and there's the Sea of Galilee. And just north of the Sea of Galilee, one of the little towns on the shore is Capernaum. And then southwest of the Sea of Galilee in the hills there is Cana. And not too far away, it's I think 5 hours walk or something like that from Capernaum to Cana. Now when the man left Capernaum and he arrived at Cana, what did he find in Cana? What did he get from Cana? A word. He didn't see his son healed. He didn't get some medicine. He got a word. Your son will live. The New King James Version, your son lives. He left his son at the point of death and now his son is alive. The word was enough for him. What do? We give people the word. We go to them with the Bible, we give them the words. And that should be enough. We speak the gospel with confidence. We say, if you believe, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be saved. We speak with confidence. We don't give people anything. We're not giving them money. We're not giving them a job necessarily. We're not giving them something, putting something in their hands. We're just speaking a word to them. And they can leave with just that word. True faith just needs a word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Who spoke those words? Paul and Silas, they were in prison. And the jailer came to them. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That jailer believed. And he was saved. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal life. You can't see it. If somebody is saved, you can't see, there goes your sins like a bat flying off. And eternal life, you can't see it. You can see this pen, but you can't see eternal life. Look, I've got eternal life. And yet, I know I've got eternal life. Because I heard the word. And the word said, you have everlasting life. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes has everlasting life. I have everlasting life. So we have the word. True faith doesn't need anything else. It has the word, which is why we treasure the Bible so much. It's precious to us. So the first thing we said is true faith doesn't need evidence. The second thing we said was true faith only needs a word. A third thing we find here, true faith acts on the word. It acts on the word. Verse 50 continues. It says, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. Now that's not a very dramatic thing, but he went on his way, obviously not looking for something else in Cana, because he had what he wanted, and off he went. Think of the man who came to Jesus, and Jesus put mud on his eyes. Now, if you are blind, does it matter if you've got mud on your eyes? I mean, whether the mud's there or the mud's not there, you still see mud. You still don't see anything. You are blind. But Jesus said to him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he didn't just believe the word and sit down. He believed the word and responded to the word. And he went to Siloam and he washed and he could see. And I read in that little book that you go through this cave, one side of the ridge, and you come out on the other side of the ridge. And so what did I do? I went up the mountain and I went into the cave and I carried on until I came out the other side. And what did that little boy do? He believed his father. His father said, I will catch you. And he jumped. Faith results in something. It always leads to some kind of action. Abraham, he went to the promised lands, to Cana. But we can carry on. We can say many other things. If you believe, then you'll stop worrying. If the Lord has addressed your problem, then you'll stop worrying. So you actually believe the word and you stop worrying. And your believing results in a change of your behavior. The Lord says He will provide. I believe He will provide. I stop worrying. I respond to that word. If I believe that giving is going to end in blessing by God, then when I give, I don't need to look around to make sure, aren't there some significant people watching me? See, look, I'm giving so that I can get the blessing from them. If I believe God is going to bless me, then all I need to know is God can see. God can see me. I don't need to make sure somebody is watching me, because I already believe that there's going to be blessing because I'm giving. James warned about a certain kind of faith. Dead faith. That kind of faith doesn't act on the word. That kind of faith, it doesn't really believe. It's a false faith. It's a dead faith. There's a last thing we can look at from this passage. True faith gets its reward. It's not just here on earth. It sounds so empty. You don't need evidence, but you just hear a word. You've got nothing else. You've only got a word. It seems so valueless. And that's why people criticize Christians. But true faith does get its reward. When the man believed, he didn't see any evidence. Jesus said to him when he was there in Cana, your son will live. He didn't see any evidence at all. But what did he do? He went down to Capernaum, confident that his son lives. And when he was halfway, he got a message from his servants. They had seen him, and he had recovered, and met him there. Just an interesting thing regarding the time in John's Gospel. If you look at all the references to exact time in John, you'll find most of them are strange. And the strangest one is right at the end when you get to the crucifixion, where he was handed over to be crucified at the 12th hour. The 6th hour. And the footnote in the ESV, I noticed it uses Jewish time, in which case that 6th hour would be midday. But he wasn't handed over to be crucified at midday. He was handed over to be crucified in the morning. And one explanation I've heard, which I'm quite convinced of, looking at all the time references, is that in John's Gospel, which was written long after the others, Roman time was used, which is like our time. And the seventh hour in that case would be 7 o'clock in the evening. So Jesus was ministering to the people in the evening. He often did. People had finished their work. They'd come back from the fields and so on. And he ministered in the evening. And at the seventh hour, Jesus spoke to this man, presuming that this is not the time that I've used is correct. Then he got the promise, your son is alive, your son is recovered, your son is fine. And he slept the night there in Cana, and then early the next morning, off he went. And the servants there at Capernaum, they saw in the evening at 7 o'clock, he recovered. And it was dramatic, otherwise they wouldn't have said, at the seventh hour, he got well. So obviously there was something dramatic that happened at 7 o'clock that evening. And so early the next morning, they got up and they left Capernaum for Cana. And so the man comes from Cana to Capernaum. The servants come from Capernaum up to Cana. They meet halfway and he gets the message. So halfway he gets the message, your son is alive. Well, that's a strengthening of faith. He still hasn't seen the evidence, but he's heard the servants say, we saw the evidence. He carried on going, and eventually he got to Capernaum. And what did he see? His son come out to greet him, I presume. He saw the evidence. He was rewarded. There was a woman who had been doing mission work for many years, her whole life as a career missionary. And after all that work, she was going back. And she'd done missionary work, I think it was in China or India, one of the two places. And she was going back to, I think, New York, where the harbor there on the ship, going back. And she arrived there at the harbor, and there were crowds of people to welcome the ship and the people on the ship. And I think the president at that stage got off the ship, and there was a band playing and the crowds were cheering and lots of people to greet him. And there was a group of people to greet all the other people that got off the ship. And when everybody had left the harbor, this woman was there standing all by herself, all alone. And she called out to the Lord, Lord, why? I've spent all these years serving you, and there's nobody, not even a single person, to welcome me. They've forgotten. And then she thought to herself, but actually, I'm not home yet. My welcome is still coming. And for every true Christian, we are just holding on to faith. We've got just a word. And we won't see the fruit of it yet. But one day, the evidence will be there when we arrive at home. And then faith won't be needed anymore. Goodbye, faith. Everything will be visible. We'll see and we'll enjoy the rewards. True faith gets its reward. So just in closing, we've looked at simple, straightforward, biblical faith, an illustration of it. Do you have that kind of faith? Or do you have some kind of thing which you need to work up and you need to feed all the time? Are you basing your life on the evidence which you see around you all the time? Or do you have that simple faith in God's words? Is that what you seek for those who are want to preach to others? Is that what you're seeking in other people? That kind of faith? Or are you trying to create something artificial? True faith is strong. It's precious. It doesn't need evidence. It only needs a word. It acts on the word and it gets its reward. If anyone considers their own life and you really start wondering, just listening to this, do you wonder whether you have true faith, true saving faith? Don't leave it at that if you are concerned and unsure. That faith is the most necessary thing that you in this whole life. Seek it until you find it, until you have it, until you are sure and you can rest on that faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you very much that you give your people faith, real faith, saving faith. And Lord, what a precious gift that is. It sees us through until the return of your Son Jesus. We pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who doesn't truly have that faith, you will grant it. We pray that we will be people who will go out with the word, giving people the word, and that we will have the blessing of seeing people come to that true saving faith. We bless you for that. Amen.